Good morning once more. Glad that you're here worshiping with us at Central Presbyterian this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 39 today. We've been working our way through some of the core values of our church over the past few weeks, including last week when Dan considered the gospel-centric life, staying in touch with the beauty and the freedom of the good news in Jesus, and how it affects every day of life, not just coming into the kingdom of God. And before that, we looked at the priority that God places on relationships and how he changes us through our friendships and relationships. We've looked at a few other things, and this morning, we're going to continue identifying some of those core things that we want our congregation to be about. In fact, some of the core things of the faith. What do we do with a good life that seems to be filled with tragedy? We all know wonderful people who have had more than their fair share of difficulty, either through broken relationships or financial trouble or health problems. Do their lives somehow have less meaning? Are they less loved by God, as indicated by their trouble? In our passage today, the Apostle Paul focuses our attention on the question of how we should think about the hard things that come into our lives. Hard things may come and go, but one thing remains, the unfailing love of the Lord Jesus. Let's turn our attention to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Paul asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see Jesus, open our hearts to receive him afresh this morning. In his strong name we ask it. Amen. This past week, I was reminded of a story of a teenage boy who had a picture of his girlfriend on the top of his chest of drawers, and on the back of the photo was an inscription, and it was written in the hand of his beloved. This is what it said. "I love you, Johnny. I love you with all my heart. In fact, I love you more with each passing day. I'm yours for all eternity." And she signed it, "Love, Sarah." What a sweet, enduring message of teenage love. However, following this inscription at the bottom of the photograph was something in smaller letters. There was a postscript, and this is what it said. "P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back." What just happened? Everything that she said above was contradicted by what she wrote below. "I'm yours forever, but when disaster strikes, I want my gift returned to me." You know, often that's how we view God's love toward us. He loves us and he gives us all these wonderful promises of eternity and faithfulness and blessing and on, yet we think when bad things or hard things come in our lives, they are like his postscript to his love. He loves us to a certain extent, but when he stops for some reason, then he takes away all the good gifts he's given. And sometimes he even sends calamity in our lives just because he stopped loving us. We suspect that hard times are an indication that God has abandoned us, or at least he's become indifferent toward our condition. He thinks, since you're still a sinner, then I'll just take back all of these blessings and the love and the faithfulness. That's how we often treat one another, but that's not how God treats us as his children. That's not his character. Being in relationship with God challenges our understanding of what real love is. Real relationship and love from God to us isn't all ease and simplicity and comfort. It never has been for his people. His love for us is an active love of pursuit. He has pursued us to the dark places of our heart, intent on shaping us and changing us so that we're more like him. He loves us enough not to leave us how we are, enslaved to our sin and our habits and our fears. But the hard things that happen to us are not an indication of some postscript. Paul tells us clearly, nothing can separate us from his love. His passionate, wild affection for you, his child, nothing can separate you from that. The context of our passage today is of being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And facing opposition, friends, is a part of that formation process. The promise is not that the Christian life is easy or that God is going to remove all of our obstacles. The promise, rather, is that nothing happens in this world that is out of his control. And at the same time, everything that happens to us is sifted through his loving fingers. Everything that happens is sifted through his loving fingers, and nothing that happens is outside of his control. That is the promise. And it gives us assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Suffering isn't an evidence of being abandoned by God. Rather, it is now, and it always has been, part of the process by which God shapes us as his children. In Romans 8, we find a series of five questions that we've considered in our series on Romans. And each of these questions really has no answer. And they're given to encourage God's people. They help us see our lives from the perspective of gospel security, a security that comes from the unfailing, passionate pursuit of God for us as his people. The first question is in verse 31, where it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we have the King of the universe on our side, who can be against us? And the second question follows. He who gave up his own son, will he not graciously give us all things? If he has given us his own son, will he fail to give us everything that we need in life? The third question is in verse 33. Who will bring a charge? It is God who justifies. Or another way to understand it is, who charges us when the judge has already rendered his verdict of not guilty? How should we stand condemned, he asks in verse 34. Christ died and was raised for us. He also intercedes for us. Our guilt has been paid for. Who is it that's going to condemn us now? And the fifth question is what we consider today. Who or what will separate us from the love of Christ? If you try to answer that question for yourself, where does your mind go? Well, Paul categorizes how we frequently answer that question by placing an answer in one of two groups. He says, sometimes we suspect that circumstances separate us from the love of Christ. They either have the power to separate us from his love, or they indicate that his love has been removed from us. Circumstances is one category. The other category is evil. He says evil has no power to separate us. Neither circumstances nor evil can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can. The principle that we consider first is that the Lord loves us through trying circumstances. He loves us through the midst of difficulty in our lives. Let me ask you a question. What do you have left when you have nothing left? Have you ever thought about that? What do you have left in your life when it feels like everything you rely upon and depend upon has been stripped away from you, whether it's your health or a relationship or financial stability or something else? The question comes to us, whether we are in jail or at the top of the world, what do you have left when everything seems to be gone? Paul answers, you still have what counts the most, the unfailing love of Christ. When you have nothing left, you still have the love of Christ. And friends, that's quite enough. In verse 35, Paul marches us through different circumstances that challenge our hold on his love. He asks, who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? And his first answer is not pressure from the world around us. We read that in his description that neither trouble nor hardship nor persecution can separate us from the love of Christ. Whether our persecution or our difficulty is for the sake of the gospel or simply the pressure of living in a broken world around us, none of these things have the power to dislodge us from the loving arms of our Savior. Even if the hardship is of your own making, if you belong to Christ, there is nothing that can separate you from Him. You know that it's true that hardship can separate husbands and wives. It can come in between husbands and wives as a wedge, and it can have an effect to kill love, whether it's the hardship of financial struggle, or the hardship of losing a child, or some other trial or hardship. It can separate the love of husbands and wives. Hardship can separate the love of parents and children. If a child is really struggling in life, it can be a wedge between the parent and the child. But Paul wants us to see that this relationship, this bedrock foundational relationship that we have with our Father in heaven, nothing can separate us from His love. Not hardship, not trouble, not persecution, nothing can serve as a wedge between us and our God. And when hardship in your life causes you to wonder whether God still loves you, thinking that He's cold toward your pain or He's indifferent to you, remember these words. Nothing can separate you from the Savior who has given Himself for you, who has suffered for you, and will passionately pursue you until the day of your safety when you are with Him in eternity. Nothing can take His love away from you. Not pressure from the world around us. He continues, not a lack of basic necessities in this life, not famine or nakedness or hunger or a lack of clothing. This can't separate us from His love, and neither does it indicate that His love has been removed from us. And this, friends, is a stinging indictment against what we hear on the television sometimes, the health and wealth preaching that we hear on TV. Some people will tell you that God wants you to be financially rich, and if you don't have riches, then somehow you are missing the outpouring of God upon His children. Or they say that being rich is a sign of His favor and His love, such that if you don't have it, your life must not be all that it should be. But that's a lie. I can't say it any stronger. It is a lie that either having or not having wealth is an indication of whether God loves you. A good rule for our principles of understanding God's character is this. If our theology doesn't work as well in the third world as it does here, then it's probably faulty theology. If we can't look poor brothers and sisters in the eye in Kenya or Haiti or Indonesia or somewhere around the world, if we can't look them in the eye and say the same thing is true here that is true there, then our theology is wrong. And we best not look our poor brothers and sisters who are suffering in Haiti in the eye and tell them, because of your poverty, it's an indication that God no longer loves you. It's a lie. It just is not true. It's not true there, and neither is it true here in our context. When we're facing trial and struggle and a failing economy, it is not an indication that God has forgotten us as His people, or it's not necessarily a punishment, because Paul gives us the bedrock truth. Nothing can separate us from His love, not even the lack of basic necessities in this life. It's not an indication of His indifference toward us. He goes further. He says, not even the risk of losing our life can separate us from the love of Christ, not danger or sword. Because of the love of Christ, friends, we do not have to fear death or bodily harm as if that's the end. Jesus died and He was raised from the dead so that life continues eternally for those of us who have trusted in Him. And even the threat of losing our life for Jesus turns it around so that we begin to see that losing our life actually gains us our life for eternity. It cannot separate us from His love. There is nothing that someone can do to you that will make you insecure before your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Paul makes his point in verse 36 that this is the way that it's been with all of God's people throughout His history of redemption. He quotes Psalm 44, verse 22. For it is for His sake that we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is the way that God's people have always faced challenges. We have always lived in a broken world and feel the effects of living in a broken world. It feels like we're led to the slaughter all the time, but it is not an indication that He has turned His back upon us or that He no longer loves us. Think about the man who wrote these words. By the time that Paul wrote these words, he had faced every single one of these challenges except for death by the sword. Famine, persecution, hardship, trial, hunger, a lack of clothing, beatings. He had faced every one of these things. And they are not an indication that we are separated from the love of Christ. They are painful and they are challenging, but they do not mean that God no longer loves us. And he gives us the reason in verse 37. He focuses our eyes on the reason we can have confidence and certainty in Christ's love. He says, no, or but in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. And that word, more than conquerors, is one word in Greek, and we could translate it this way. We are more than triumphant. Or we are more than totally victorious. Or we are winning a most glorious victory. In all of these trying circumstances, as believers in Christ, we are given a greater blessing than simply survival. These things that threaten us completely lose their power in the face of what does give us victory. It is not our courage or our fortitude or the American can-do spirit that fights against the trial and struggle in our lives. In fact, Paul points us away from ourselves so that we see what Christ has done to give us victory over these trials in our lives. He continues in verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When he talks about through him who loved us, he is referring directly to the cross. That amazing truth that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his love for us through dying for us on the cross. It is on the cross that Jesus suffered and he died for us. It demonstrated the extent to which he was willing to go to prove his love that never fails. The lengths to which he was willing to go to rescue us from our sin and our distress and our enslavement. He took our sin, he took our pain upon himself. And when you and I face difficult circumstances and we begin to feel and struggle with our faith that is growing weak, through the cross, we see Jesus standing as the conqueror over sin and death, over our sin and our death and our weakness. When we feel like we're losing our hold on the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul gives us a prescription. And the prescription is this. Look again at the cross and at the certainty of his love for you. And there you will see him risen, standing in victory. You will be reminded of his unfailing grip upon your life. When your faith grows weak, look to the Lord Jesus. Look at his cross and the lengths to which he was willing to go to prove to you his love. In the childhood wing of our church, if you pass through the hallway, you will look out the window to the left, you'll see some scenes. There's a painted city and then some animals there, and there's also a scene of Jesus standing in the middle of all of these animals and this city. And if you remember back to 2 weekends ago, we had a pretty serious storm here in St. Louis. And somehow the wind found its way down in this courtyard where Jesus and the animals are all standing. And the wind must have whipped around and it knocked many of these things over. All of the scenes were knocked over. The animals were knocked over. The city was knocked over. But Jesus was standing in the middle. And two of our children's workers were walking by and they looked out and saw this scene. And one of them said, did you notice that everything is knocked over, but Jesus is still standing? And the other one said, you know, I really didn't see that. I didn't notice that. And making a joke, the first children's worker said, well, that's because you have your eyes fixed on the rubble and not on the Lord Jesus. It's humorous, but it's true of our eyes frequently, isn't it? We focus so much on the difficult circumstances of our life that we can't see Jesus, who is still standing with his arms outstretched to love us. The Jesus who is risen and who has conquered for us. It is that same Jesus who loved you then, who loves you now, and will bring you through any trial or any circumstance that you're going through. I talked to people this very week in our church who have experienced the love of Christ in the midst of trial like I can only imagine. People who've lost children, People who've lost everything in their life. People who've lost loved ones. And they have a testimony that the only thing that kept them going, the only thing that was firm in their life in the midst of all that loss was the love of Christ, and it never left them. It is true for you and me that Jesus has conquered. And if we look at him on the cross, we will be given strength to follow after him in his conquering. John Newton said this, "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us. His arm is over us. His ear open to our prayer. His grace sufficient and his promise unchangeable." We have the unfailing love of Christ. And he will be with you through circumstances that terrify you. There is nothing that can happen in your life. There is no terror or circumstance that can separate you from the love of your Savior. And there is no circumstance that proves to you that his love has been removed. He may use us in difficult circumstances. He may shape us in difficult circumstances. But one thing he will not do is abandon us. He is faithful to people he loves. Circumstances cannot remove us from the love of Christ. But Paul goes further and he says that the Lord loves us even through the face of destructive evil. Look at verse 38, where Paul makes things a little more personally. He moves from the we to I. He says, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Circumstances fail to do it, and the destructive power of evil fails to do it as well. We see a progression here. Paul begins with neither death nor life. Death is an enemy of God's people. It is the punishment for sin, and it was introducing separation into our lives. We mourn the loss of loved ones who die and we're separated from them. But if death is the great thing that separates us from our loved ones, it cannot separate us from the one who loves us most, not from the Lord Jesus. The evil of death, the destructive power of death, is blunted by the Lord Jesus who conquered over death for you and me. He continues, "Neither angels nor demons, no spiritual being can remove us from the love of Christ, whether that being is for good or for evil. No being can do it, even if we can't see their power at work. God is more powerful." And Paul has confidence because Christ has already defeated fully all those powers that would oppose him. Christ has conquered through the cross and his resurrection, and the evil that threatens to destroy our lives has been bound. I hope you know that Satan is real. I hope you know that his minions, the demons, are real. They can threaten us, they can attack us, they can tempt us, but they have no power to separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. The one who is in us is stronger than the one who is in the world. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and no attack of evil can make it any different. You know, sadly, the evil of being attacked or being sinned against sometimes doesn't just come from outside the church. Flannery O'Connor once said, "Christians often suffer more from the church than they do for the church." Meaning sometimes our suffering and our pain comes from inside the fellowship of the body of Christ. And now by suffering, I don't mean when people hold up the light of God's word to our lives and we are forced to reckon with our sin and our disobedience. That's not being persecuted, and that's not suffering unjustly. God calls us as a believing community to the team sport of walking together in Christ-likeness. The world answers the question of whether or not we're our brother's keeper. The world answers it no, but the Bible answers it yes. We are our brother's keeper. We need the community of God's people to warn us when we stray. That's not persecution. That's love. That's faithfulness in the body of Christ. But sometimes we are sinned against through unfair accusation. Or we may be abused by the self-righteousness of the people within the church. Or we may suffer the mistrust or the suspicion or the impugning of motives of another person when someone really can't see what's driving a person. None of these painful and potentially destructive things, evil as they are, none of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Because, friends, evil cannot stop the march of the love of Christ to bring change into this world. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is on his mission of redeeming this world, and he does it through us, one person at a time. And hell can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. Evil inside the church can't stop it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died to give victory over it. There is no evil that can stop the march of the love of Christ in the lives of his people. But what about my own evil, you might ask? Evil in my heart. It's not just out there. It's not just people out there who accuse and sin and mistrust. It's in my own heart. What does Paul have to say about that? Well, he uses this wonderful catch-all phrase for all of us doubters. He says, there is nothing in all creation. Our sin is still in this created world, isn't it? It's a catch-all phrase so that those of us who are looking for the loophole are caught by this one. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ when our hearts have been claimed by him. Not things outside and not things inside, because the cross is sufficient. Circumstances are powerful and threatening. Evil is powerful and threatening. But it is now and always will be powerless to separate us from the love of God in Christ. In the cross, the Lord conquered my evil. He conquered your evil. And our confidence lies not in our strength or our willpower to overcome, but in the Christ who will never let us go. Missy and I have two kids who absolutely love to swim. I think if we let them, they would live in the water. They would try to become fish. Isaiah, my three-year-old, this summer learned to jump into the pool, from the side of the pool into the water. He learned how to do that, and he does it with lots of gusto. And Isaiah, as he was learning to jump into the pool, he would squat down just a little bit, and he would swing his arms, and he would count to three. One, two, three. And if I was there to catch him, he would jump. But if I wasn't there to catch him, he wouldn't jump. He would just start all over again. He would count to three again. Why does Isaiah feel safer to jump when I'm there? It's obvious, isn't it? There's someone who loves him, who's there to catch him. But you know, the truth is that the water stays at the same depth all the time. Whether I'm there or not, the water is the same depth. Whether I'm there or not, if he jumps in the water, in any part of the pool, he's going to drown because it's too deep for him. Without being held up by his dad, he would drown. Same is true with us. The circumstances of our life are enough to drown us. The evil of this world is enough to drown us. But we have a faithful God who is there to catch us no matter how deep the threats to our life become. Whether they are 10 feet of struggle and threat or just 2 feet of threat and struggle, our Father is there to catch us. And we are buoyed up by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ each moment of each day. He died for us. He was raised for us. And there is nothing that can separate us from that love. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would assure us of that basic truth. Give us the grace of building our lives upon that truth. And as we look at our lives this week, as we leave this place and go into our workplaces tomorrow morning, may we remember, whatever faces us, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ goes with us. We pray all this in the strong name of the one who loved us. Amen.